Today, at the beginning of our Bible story, we meet Jesus' disciples hiding behind the locked doors. They were very scared and sad. Just 1 week earlier, they had walked into Jerusalem with Jesus like a big victory parade. Everyone cheered. They thought Jesus was the king who would defeat the Romans and bring freedom and happiness to their nation. But then something terrible happened. Jesus was arrested and nailed to a cross. He died. All their hopes and dreams seemed completely broken. Now, they were afraid that the same people who killed Jesus would come after them too. So they locked the doors and the heat shaking with fear. Then suddenly, the risen Lord, the risen Jesus came right there among them and said, "Peace be with you." What does it mean? Does it mean that their fear was simply gone? Did it mean that because Jesus, the one who was supposed to fulfill all their hopes and dreams, had risen from the dead, they could now regain their expectations? Along with these words, he showed them his hands and his side to reveal his wounds. Why did he do this? Certainly, part of it was to show that he had truly risen from the dead. But what we must pay attention to is that he did not rise as a mighty warrior, fully armored and invincible. He rose with the scars of the crucifixion still visible, pierced hands and the wounded side. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus was not saying that the peace had come because his resurrection meant their political peace and the national expectation would now be fulfilled. Some people say, for human beings, it is harder than bring peace to the world than to become a god. We live in a world with advanced technology, instant communication, and the ability to travel everywhere, even to the moon. Yet, words continue. We are still hunger for relationships, still suffer from broken connections, and still fear loneliness. And beyond all this, the ultimate fear waits for us at the end. The fear of death, the end of every relationship, everything, the final isolation. What meaning does death give us? What emptiness does it leave? Isn't it this emptiness and sense of meaninglessness that drives us to spend our days chasing things that don't truly satisfy? Where does it all come from? Where? It comes from a broken relationship with God. The source of all meaning and life. Because of that, we were in sin. The disciples' fear was not merely the shattering of their hopes. Jesus spoke to the very root of their fear. He showed them his crucifixion wounds to confirm that the ultimate cause of human fear had been defeated through his death and the resurrection. He rose not just to demonstrate life after death, but to show that true peace between God and us, so peace that conquers our deepest fears, had been secured for us. Jesus has risen. He is alive. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Why? Because the peace that overcomes death has been given to us. There is no need to fear. My friend, listen carefully right now what Jesus is speaking to us in this very, very place. Peace be with you. The fear has gone. Do you hear this? Peace be with you. Do you truly believe this? Because many people say that if they could see the risen Jesus with their own eyes, then they would believe this. And indeed, this was true for Thomas too. The reason many people feel this way is because even the disciples, even Thomas, did not fully believe in the resurrection until they encountered the risen Jesus themselves. So people ask, how is it fair for us to be told to believe in the resurrection when we are not shown the risen Jesus the way they were? Is it fair? And when we face questions like this, especially from those who are looking for clear scientific proof, we can sometimes feel lost. In the past, I had a discussion with those who argued that the stories and events recorded in the Bible lack sufficient archaeological or historical evidence. They suggest that events like the resurrection of Jesus are not real occurrences, but rather symbolic or moral teachings meant to inspire. But let me ask you this. How many people would give their lives for a novel by Charles Dickens? If the Bible is merely symbolic literature, if it is not grounded in reality, then how do we explain the countless people over the centuries who have given their lives to proclaiming? If someone claims that the Bible lacks historical credibility, then shouldn't they also provide a reasonable explanation for the long history of martyrdom? What about the countless believers across the world, throughout generations? Are we to say that they are all deceived? That they were all somehow under a collective illusion? If one insists that the message of the Bible is not true because of insignificant historical evidence, then one must also account for the undeniable reality of history itself, the lives transformed, the sacrifices made, and the enduring witness of the church across the centuries. Is there a reasonable explanation for all of that? But let us be honest with ourselves. Have you really never encountered Jesus? Haven't you? Throughout the long history of the church, did all those countless witnesses give their lives without ever encountering him? And what about us? Are we who have come to believe in Jesus, not also people who have encountered him? Is that not why we are here today? Is that not why we bear witness to him? Dear brothers and sisters, how is that possible? That's possible through the Holy Holy Spirit. Jesus said in verse 21, receive the Holy Spirit. This declaration of Jesus was fulfilled at Pentecost after his ascension. Yet through the Holy Spirit, he lived in them. And as they proclaimed the gospel, he himself forgave the sins of those who responded. As it says in 1 John 3:24, this is how we know that he, Jesus, lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Through the Holy Spirit, we know, truly know, that the Lord is with us. We experience him. We are not speaking about an idea, but a living reality. Dear brothers and sisters, do not be deceived by a worldview that says only what is visible is real. Not everything that is real can be seen. Doesn't Jesus say in the last verse today, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, we see what is unseen. We experience him in our lives. We witness his love, his work, his presence. What greater evidence could there be? We have already encountered him and lived with him. When we heard the testimony of Scripture and believed, the Lord came to us, just as he came to the fearful disciples. He came to us through his Spirit. In that sense, we too have seen his pierced hands. We too have seen his wounded side. The truth of Scripture has become real to us. And he did not come to us only for a moment. He dwells in us. He walks with us. He leads our lives. He loves us and helps us as our living God. And the confession that Thomas made in verse 28, my Lord and my God, that same Lord is with us today. Therefore, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not proven only by historical evidence. It is proven in the living reality of our relationship with our God and our Lord, here and now and forever. It is proven by us who live in him. Is there any greater evidence than the Lord himself who is with us, whom we experience in our daily lives? Can we remain silent? Like Mary Magdalene, like the disciples who declared, I have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. Can we keep this to ourselves? Can we not proclaim this living, present, risen Lord? Dear brothers and sisters, he is risen. He is alive. He is truly alive.